Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Monday, August 28th, 2017, and guess who's on vacation again? I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster, who is on gorgeous Vancouver Island. By the way, this is the same Bill Buckmaster who claimed he was stranded in Tahiti for an extra day earlier this year. So we'll see what he comes up with this time. The Buckmaster Show comes to you live Monday through Friday at noon on KVOI 1030 AM, and we live stream at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. You can check out Bill's Facebook page for vacation pictures. Just type in Buckmaster Show, and he and his wife Anne always post terrific updates and history about the places that they visit, and it's good reading. Last night they posted a picture from the balcony of their hotel. It's absolutely gorgeous, so go check that out on Facebook. You can also find archives of past shows at buckmastershow.com. Bill and I were talking just last week about how much news has been broken on a show in the past year, so you can go back and listen to some of those shows. And we start out every week talking to our political experts during the Monday political face-off, and there certainly is a lot to talk about these days. Today we are welcoming John Munger and Vince Robigo. After the break at 12:30, we're going to be talking to Patty O'Berry, who runs a domestic violence shelter and other services in the greater Tucson area, and you are not going to want to miss that. If you want to join the discussion, you can call the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. That's 790-2040. It is time for our Monday political face-off. We welcome John Munger. He's a Tucson attorney, former candidate for governor, and Vince Robigo, also a local attorney, Democrat, regular contributor to the Buckmaster Show. The Monday political face-off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's specializes in custom-framed mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com, and of course you can find them on Facebook. Vince and John, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Thanks. Thanks. Good to be here. Sorry I'm calling in at the moment.
Okay. You'll be here in just a minute, but
There's traffic out there.
Yeah, a little bit of traffic we hear in Tucson. So we have got a lot going on locally and nationally. Tucson is holding its primary tomorrow for Ward 3. That's Karen Ulick's seat on the city council. Just wanted to remind our listeners of that. There are three candidates in the race, Felisa Chu, Paul Durham, and Thomas Tronsdahl. There's also a contested primary in Ward 6 between two Green Party candidates. Vince, outgoing Ward 3 Councilmember Karen Ulick left a parting gift to Tucson in the form of a rainbow crosswalk downtown that used $10,000 to $12,000 in public money. You think that was a good idea?
You know, it doesn't seem like a bad idea when you consider what it was recognizing and inclusiveness and diversity. I know that some folks are looking into, well, what is the long-term cost of such an expenditure? And as I understand it, I think those funds came from her, each council member has a certain set number of funds. And so it really kind of depends. You know, obviously, I think it was important for what it was representing. But I don't have any problem with people asking questions as to how, you know, what is this going to be long term? Is there, you know, additional associated costs with something like that? But we certainly spend a lot of money painting a mountain, doing other things of the symbolic nature. And so I don't, philosophically, I don't see anything wrong with it. But I also understand folks, you know, wanting to find out what is the long-term cost of this.
Okay, good. I think you delineated the two issues. One is tax dollars, whether it comes out of her personal office funds or the general fund. It doesn't matter. But then you have the philosophy behind it. John, you have any thoughts on it?
I sure do. I think regardless whether it comes out of her office funds or the general fund, it's taxpayer money. And I don't have any problem with having something like that there, except my view is if we have that money, that kind of money for that kind of sort of frivolous thing, it seems to me that we need to have better control of our money. I think if each council person is doing things like that, and evidently they are, that adds up to a lot of money, and the taxpayers work hard for that money. I don't think that council people have a right to be expressing their political opinion at taxpayers' expense, which this is. I don't have any problem with the rainbow crosswalk personally, but it is an expression of personal political views, cultural views, socio views, and I think that if we have that kind of money floating around, don't be asking for a raise and don't be asking for any tax increases.
Okay, very good. President Trump was awfully busy on Friday. We had a couple of stories, big stories, break nationally just as Hurricane Harvey was rolling into to Texas. He told the military not to move forward with plans to recruit transgender individuals, and it's still up in the air as to what's going to happen to those transgender soldiers who are currently in uniform. But the president did make it clear he doesn't want the military using its resources to provide medical treatment regimens for transgender individuals. John, what really is the main issue with transgender people serving in the military? What's why is it a problem?
Well, I think there are several issues. One is the cost. I've seen studies that indicate that transgender people have more physical costs. They may have more psychological costs. They're going through some very difficult times. I'm sympathetic with them. But if you're a soldier who's depending on your comrades to be on point and to work with you, you don't want somebody who's got some kind of psychological problem. And you certainly don't want somebody who's on again, off again for duty to have some special kind of medical care or psychological care. I think we need people who are ready physically and mentally to serve. So I think that's a problem. I think the costs are the problem. I've seen numbers that indicate that transgender people spend 14 times, we spend, the taxpayer spends up to 14 times the cost of their medical care as opposed to other soldiers and sailors and airmen. And I think there's a morale issue too. You're dealing with, in the military, and I've been there, you're dealing with a lot of machismo. You're dealing with some pretty heavy duty guys that are carrying very heavy duty loads. And I don't think that they should be burdened with dealing with political correctness on duty. And that I think concerns me. Now, I don't know what the numbers are in the military, but I think that the military has to be sensitive to that. We don't let in the military people with other kinds of problems. Psychological or physical problems. We don't let them in. Why should this be different? The military is not a testing ground, an experimental ground for cultural and psychological issues. That's not the right place.
Very good. Vince, is it all about money?
Hearing what John's saying, apparently it's not. There's obviously all kinds of assumptions that are built into everything he just said, that these individuals are psychologically challenged. He talked about the elements of what he called machismo, having to deal with them as if the assumption is that these individuals who are transgendered can't fit the bill, can't make the test. These are people that can fit the bill, people that can and are willing to serve and put their lives on the line. And so when you start, chalking it up that way, the Army has, the military has psychological tests. If there's a problem with any of these individuals, they get screened out. So to me, it seems to me like a lot of psychological hoopla coming from those that are opposed to this, making assumptions and statements. When you look at costs, the Army has reported that it costs anywhere between $2.4 million to $8 million a year for these sorts of health costs. The fact is, President Trump, on his security for his so-called southern, Florida White House at Mar-a-Lago, has already spent over $6 million on security.
That's
so it's not a question.
Neither.
It is here or there, because you're talking about expenditure of public funds just like you were referring to with respect to the city council. You have here somebody just for security to be at a vacation home, and he's already essentially almost blown out that entire budget that would have covered that. So we know that that's just a smokescreen. No. My view is anyone, whatever color you are, whatever creed you are, whatever background you are, if you're willing to bleed and die for the American flag and for our country, regardless of your gender orientation, all that, you should be allowed to serve. And I've seen some of those individuals on the internet talking, and these are tough-looking individuals. So I think this is just political.
But the process of transitioning has got to be a very difficult one. And we know that before you're allowed to take hormones or to move into surgeries, you do undergo a year's worth of medical and psychological evaluation.
That's right.
And so that it cannot be easy. And so certainly you're not saying that all of them are going to be successful and manage a very tough load in the military.
But what I haven't seen is I hadn't seen the Joint Chiefs of Staff or anybody presenting studies saying, oh, we have a detriment to our military because of those alleged concerns.
Well,
and so when you don't have that, so, and you don't have the leaders of the military bringing an issue, and instead it's presented as a political issue delivered via tweet by our commander-in-chief, that shows you really what's going on here.
Well, let me make some comments. Number one, I don't think that our government has any business, or our military has any business, paying for transgender surgery, psychological care, and all the things that people need for transitioning. Number two, I don't think that the soldiers that they're doing duty with need to have somebody whose mind is on their transitioning, their transgender operations that are out, not able to do duty because they've just had an operation that the government and the taxpayer has paid for. I don't think that's necessary. So, Vince, you and I are going to disagree on that. I don't think that's something the government ought to be paying for, and I don't think that the soldiers have to put up with that distraction.
Okay, we are going to take a quick break. You are listening to the Monday Political Face-Off on the Buckmaster Show with Vince Robigo and John Munger. I'm Dan Scheer, and we will be right back.
American Openings is pleased to sponsor Hands of Hope. Hands of Hope believes every life matters, and they're committed to walking alongside women to provide confidential, non-judgmental care so they can make the best decisions when unsure about continuing with a pregnancy. You can learn more about Hands of Hope at GiveHopeTucson.com. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer and is blessed to be a sponsor of a local ministry doing so much to protect life.
The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster, the Buckmaster Show, featuring Arizona newsmakers and more than two dozen Buckmaster Show contributors. Everything from foreign affairs to the arts is on the table and open for discussion and your calls from one end of Southern Arizona to the other. Always on BuckmasterShow.com for all of our podcasts. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. And, of course, you can find them on Facebook. I'm Dan Shearer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sowetita Sun, sitting in for a vacationing Bill Buckmaster. You've caught us in the middle of the Monday Political Face-Off with John Munger and Vince Robigo. We were talking about one of the president's tweets from Friday night about transgender people in the military, but we're going to move on to really what was huge news. And that is the pardon of Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio. On Friday night, President Trump announced the pardon, and Arpaio, of course, had been convicted for criminal contempt after ignoring a court order to essentially stop targeting certain groups of people during immigration sweeps. John, Arizona's two senators do not appear to support the pardon. We know Senator McCain doesn't, and Senator Flake just said that he wishes that the president had allowed the court system to kind of work its way through. What about you? What do you think of this?
Well, I have several thoughts. First of all, so that your listeners understand, there's a lot of comments going on Facebook about how Joe Arpaio is denied a jury trial. Look, he was alleged to have violated a court order. When you violate a court order, you are in contempt, and there isn't a jury trial. That's just our system. So people that are talking about how he was denied a jury trial are just wrong. That's not the way the system works. You don't get a jury trial when you're in contempt of a judge's order. Second of all, I think that the court system is, and let me make a point here on the side. I have not read the court order, and I have not read or reviewed Mr. Arpaio, Sheriff Arpaio's actions. So I don't know whether the court order was valid, and I don't know whether he violated that court order. I'm not opining on that. But I do think that the pardon was way premature. I think that the court system is set up so if Sheriff Arpaio didn't like that order, he could have appealed it. He could have appealed all the way to the Supreme Court. Then if the president and Sheriff Arpaio didn't like the final result, then on the merits at that time you could look at whether a pardon was appropriate. I suggest to you that all the people that are talking about how Sheriff Arpaio was railroaded by this order, 99% of them have not read the order, and 99% of them have not read the order in the context of Sheriff Arpaio's actions. When a judge orders something, I can tell you, and I know Vince agrees with me, when a judge tells you to do something, that's what you do. And if you don't like it, you can appeal it. That's the way those things are handled. You don't just go around ignoring it. That sends a terrible message to the public. I believe that we've gotten our system to the point where on both sides, right and left, where people think that they have some kind of moral right to ignore the law. And my opinion is you follow the law. And Sheriff Opio had an opportunity to do that. That never happened because he was, in my opinion, prematurely pardoned. It may have been that he deserved a pardon. I don't know. But most of the people listening to this show haven't read the order, and they haven't carefully reviewed exactly what Sheriff Arpaio did. Was he profiling? I don't know. Did he violate the law? I don't know. But neither does anybody else. And boy, the opinions on Facebook are so strong in both directions, and everybody's talking as if they knew what the hell was going on, and they just don't. The bottom line answer is you follow the law, and if you don't like the law or the court order, you appeal it. And I think it would have been a better move for President Trump to have waited at minimum until everything played out, the sentence occurred. It may have been a probation sentence. It was just a misdemeanor.
Right, for a man who's 85,
probably would have been a probationary sentence. I think people have their panties all in a bunch over something they don't know anything about.
Okay, let's bring Vince Robago into this. What do you think?
Well, I certainly agree that it was premature. Let me just state at the outset that the president does have the power to pardon a criminal contempt. There's a little twist in the law. Had it been a civil, like a civil contempt, that's actually not pardonable. And the Supreme Court decided this issue back in 1925. But the reality is that there was a lengthy court proceeding, and it was held in front of a well-known conservative Republican federal judge, G. Murray Snow, who was appointed by President Bush, who gave very direct orders to the sheriff. Some of them were to stop doing these raids because he had been found to have been racially profiling people without probable cause. Another was, and that was the injunction. So he was specifically directed, and the judge in that case, President Bush appointee, found that he knew it and he intentionally disregarded it. There was a lot more to it, though. There was also a whole bunch of evidence that the sheriff was personally directed to safeguard and to make sure that it was maintained. Approximately 50 hard drives of evidence that was inculpatory type evidence that the sheriff did not disclose and refused to follow the judge's order to take charge of the evidence in the case. And then last, and there was a whole bunch of things. There was like a 32-page criminal referral by this Republican federal judge for the sheriff to be prosecuted. The last part was that the judge found that the sheriff and one or more of his subordinates had committed perjury, made knowingly false statements in the course of their testimony. That's what got this ball rolling. And then, of course, that judge is not allowed to be the judge that tries the case, and it was sent over to a different judge. And the case was not prosecuted till this year, long after Republican Jeff Sessions was in charge of the U.S. Department of Justice, and they held this bench trial. Sheriff Joe tried to go all the way to the Supreme Court saying he needed a jury trial, and as John has correctly pointed out, not entitled to one under these circumstances. And based on the testimony that was presented in the trial, found him guilty of criminal contempt. Now, the reality is, what you have is just political. The people that John was talking to, all the people chattering on Facebook.
On both sides.
But there's a lot on both sides. But the ones who are saying, for example, this was just a liberal judge, he was just following immigration law, that's not true. What he was found guilty of was ignoring a federal order and all the circumstances I just described. Now, if you cannot rely on our law enforcement, our elected law enforcement, to fulfill their oaths of office, to follow the law, then the system breaks down. And that is what is dangerous about issuing a pardon like this, because in the face of all, although he has the full authority and right to do something so early in this context shows what is likely to happen and provides a very uncertain landscape with respect to these ongoing investigations of the president, his administration, and others.
Yeah, let me add something else in here. People are treating this as if this is some historic world-changing event. It isn't. Presidents in the past have issued politically motivated Let's presume, let's just say this was politically motivated. I don't know if it was or not, but let's say it was. Presidents in the past have issued all kinds of politically motivated pardons. Bill Clinton issued a pardon, for God's sake, to Mark Rich, who is a bank fraud crook who escaped the United States, was being tried in absentia, or had been tried, and but he was a big Clinton fundraiser and bundler. And Clinton pardoned him. Obama issued pardons to terrorists from Puerto Rico. Clearly these were politically motivated because they were in line with Obama's political views. There was no basis for it. Obama released drug dealers, 73 of them he pardoned. Who were just drug dealers, okay. and because he didn't believe in the enforcement of the law. So I just want people to understand that these kinds of political pardons happen all the time. This is not some big change where all of a sudden the world has gone to hell because of Donald Trump. That's just not true.
But I think there are significant racial overtones, and that's what's making people a little bit nervous. Is this a direction our...
I understand that.
Because I was working and living up in that community when a lot of these sweeps are going on, and I can tell you that he clearly was profiling. There was absolutely no doubt, being out and walking those neighborhoods and talking to the people, and there was absolutely no doubt about it. So I think with the president maybe not recognizing that, according to some people who are critics of the pardon, I think that's why this is such a big deal. We're going to have to, unfortunately, end it here. I want to thank Vince Robigo and John Munger for joining us on today's Monday Political Face-Off. We appreciate your time and insights. Always good. We should take this a whole hour. Right after our break, we're going to be joined by Patty O'Berry to talk about how we can best help those caught up in domestic violence. We'll be right back.
Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. So much to do in Silver City and Grant County, like exploring historic downtown Silver City or visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete listing of the many things to do and great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. Now I want to welcome Patty O'Berry to the show. She is the CEO and founder of Hands of a Friend, which reaches out to victims of domestic violence in a variety of ways. Welcome, Patty.
Well, thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Very good. We had you here 2 years ago, but a lot has gone on since then. First of all, though, give us a brief overview of Hands of a Friend.
Well, Hands of a Friend, I started in 2005. Our mission is to provide shelter for victims of domestic violence, sexual assault, and human trafficking. And we do that by facilitating a philosophy of escape, encourage, empower, envision, embrace, and embark. And we do that while promoting help, health, hindsight, healing, honor, and happiness.
You know, last time you were here, what was very memorable to me was some of the domestic violence statistics that you rattled off, and it was just overwhelming. How bad is the problem?
Well, I'll tell you, these statistics are staggering, because if you think domestic violence has no importance to you in your life, if only as a taxpayer you need to pay attention to these statistics. 8 million paid days of work are missed each year in the United States alone due to domestic violence. That's equivalent to 32,000 full-time jobs. The cost of intimate partner violence exceeds $5.8 billion each year. $4.1 billion is just in direct medical and mental health services, with $1.7 plus billion that is lost in business productivity. And 5.6 million days of household productivity, non-paid jobs, are lost due to violence each year. So for those of you who think domestic violence is not affecting your life, it's raising the costs of good. It's raising the costs of medical care, medical insurance. You need to be paying attention to those things.
We're just climbing out of this decade-long economic downturn. Do we tend to see an uptick in domestic violence when the economy is hurting?
Actually, it's aggravating to me, Dan, because in the 13, 14 years I've been I've been running this organization in the Green Valley, Sahuadita area, I don't see any decrease in numbers. I see the numbers staying the same in some instances and growing tremendously in others. I blame a lot of that on the fact that we're constantly educating after the fact. You know, after they've already been abused, after they're already in shelter, then we're trying to educate them how to not get in that situation again.
But why is it? Do women think that they could never be in that situation? Are they in denial?
There are some who are. I can't tell you how many times I've spoken around the state of Arizona, and invariably I'll get someone in the audience who will say to me, a survivor myself of domestic violence. I grew up in domestic violence, married a high school sweetheart who turned out not to be so sweet in 3 weeks, and took me 18 years to get out of that situation. And I considered myself a bright young woman, articulate, and thought I could take care of myself. But you find yourself in that situation, and you, it's almost like Stockholm syndrome. You're like a prisoner of war in your own home. And so I find women where I speak will say, well, that would never happen to me, or why doesn't she just leave? The fact of it is, that is the worst time for the woman. The scariest time of all is when she does leave. That is when most women's lives are in the most danger of being murdered.
And I remember a stat from your last visit here, and let's make sure that I got it right, but it takes a woman, she has to leave the house 7 times before she's going to leave for good.
Well, it's not that she has to, it's that that's the statistical average, that they leave 7 times before they leave for good. In my case, the first time I left, I went a whole block and a half to the 7-Eleven.
Right.
But I promise you, I got the same beating for leaving for 45 minutes to flee for a block and a half that I did for having left for 2 weeks. It's just the way it is. You know, that first time you test the water, you stick your foot out, you go a block and a half and you leave for an hour and a half. And maybe the next time you get 3 miles away and you spend 10 hours. And finally, every woman living in domestic violence does have a red line they draw in the sand. For some of us, it's our children. You know, beat me, but don't touch the kids. For some of them, it's their pets. For others, it's, you know, the lack of education, lack of financial support, lack of familial support.
And I know where to go. I know you don't like to hear this and it frustrates you, but I have to say it because a lot of people are thinking it. If somebody were beating me, I would leave. It seems pretty easy. Why is it not?
But you wouldn't. You think you would. You actually think you would, but fear is the driving factor. I know in my case, when you have watched your husband, the father of your children, shoot an animal, do you think you would not be next?
Before we move any further, I want to, for anybody who might be listening, a website and a phone number real quick, and we'll repeat these later on in the broadcast.
Absolutely. You can get a hold of Hands of a Friend at handsofafriend.org, or you can call 520-648-3589. A direct line to my desk is 520-647-9906. You can also see us at our Daisy's Resale Stores, which is one of our vehicles for generating revenue, and that is at 231 West Duval Road, Green Valley. Lots of amazing clothes in there, very high-end, very low, low, low prices. Stop in and see us.
Dan nice knows, commercial.
Dan knows I'm a shameless, relentless beggar. Hands of a Friend takes absolutely zero government money, no city, no county, no state, no federal. We raise all the money ourselves, and part of that is because I am a shameless, relentless beggar and proud of it.
One more time, a little bit slowly, a little bit slower, the main number.
The main number is 520-648-3589.
Okay, very good. You have got an awful lot going on at the shelter right now. I want to focus right now on expansion. Tell us a little bit about that.
We do. I've noticed in the last 3 years, the highest percentage increase in an age bracket that I've seen in the last 3 years are women gently past the age of 55. Yes, our shelter is in the Green Valley Sahuadita area, and you might expect an upswing. Part of that is because we've become more vocal in the community. Women in that age bracket now realize there is help out there for them, but it does present a problem at shelter because they come with some handicaps. They come with not the ability to continue to work. And so we, part of the build, part of adding on to the shelter was to include a senior suite with handicap bathroom that would cater most especially to their needs.
What's the oldest woman you've ever had in shelter?
87 years.
And the youngest person?
A brand new baby.
Brand new baby. So you invite families in?
We do. Part of the build, adding on to the shelter, was to create a dormitory for single women, which would free up the 6 original bedrooms that we could use as family suites. And so in doing that, we converted a 2.5 garage to a dormitory for 10 to 14 single women. Then we've added the senior suite for at least four women. We may be able to get six in there, depending on how we move things around, with its own handicap bathroom. As well, we've built a brand new living room to accommodate all the single women. The nice part about the way we've done it is the house is separated so that all the family suites are at the north end of the building, separated by a living room and a library, a kitchen and a dining room, and then begins all the single suites.
Is the expansion in process, or is it finished, or what? Where is it?
Well, it's in process, but it'll be 100% done the end of September. We'll be having a grand reopening for those that work with us at shelter, law enforcement, fire department, those kinds of people will be able to come in and take a tour again. Some of our high-end donors of the shelter, and see the wonderful, wonderful things we were able to achieve. The day the last nail goes in that build, we have totally paid off the expansion.
All right, fantastic. We are going to take a quick break. We are with Patty O'Berry, founder and CEO of Hands of a Friend. We'll be right back.
The Arizona Wildcats kick off the 2017 football season this Saturday, September 2nd, with Fan Appreciation Night and an exclusive bobblehead giveaway of NFL superstar Rob Gronkowski. Go to ArizonaWildcats.com/FB to buy your tickets and learn more about bringing home your own Gronk bobblehead, or call 621-CATS. Single game tickets start at just $12. Come out and support our Wildcats and bear down.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Green Things, located at 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of Brandy Fenton Park. Check out Green Things on 13 acres for all your gardening and green things. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com. I'm Dan Scheer, filling in for a vacationing Bill Buckmaster, and we are with Patty O'Berry talking about domestic violence issues and getting help for those in our community. Patty, you are with Hands of a Friend, and you had mentioned before the break that you do not take any government funding, absolutely zero, but there have got to be needs. What are some of the big ones?
You know, one of our greatest needs right now is to see the balance of the mortgage paid off, the original mortgage to the house. We do have a refi on that house, so the house is in our name, but we still owe $200,000. That $200,000 would be so much better spent on the victim services that we could provide. And anyone willing to donate to help pay off that mortgage, just send your donation to P.O. Box 2097, made out to Hands of a Friend, designated for mortgage payoff. You can take that as a tax credit at the end of the year. We would really, really, really appreciate it, and I know the victims we serve would.
And for obvious reasons, we don't disclose where the house is, but I have been there a couple of times and seen the operation. It's absolutely incredible. You run a tight ship, as they say. But it's just not a shelter. There's also a place in that home set up for classes.
And yeah, we have classroom. We have a computer classroom. We run classes at the shelter. We actually, this year, we put a six-hole miniature golf course in the backyard for the little kids.
Right. And so your organization goes way beyond just offering shelter. We have the classes. Go into a little bit more about Daisy's, if you would, and how
our Daisy's resale store. As I said, we founded that as one of our vehicles for generating revenue, and that supplies clothing not only to the community at reasonable prices, because most people in the Green Valley area are on a fixed income, but also to all the women at shelter, women and children at shelter who require clothing. We've even supplied burn victims, kids who are heading to the prom and can't afford a prom dress. We give them to them. So we do more than just supply victims of domestic violence, sexual assault, and human trafficking.
I think it was last year you came into my office and in your hand was a board game. And
that's right.
And I told you, hey, I don't have time to play. But you insisted, of course, as you are wont to do. And you unfolded this thing in front of me, and it was really startling because it was a game that you made up yourself with a little bit of help. And tell me about it.
I did. Well, I started out first. I am so tired, as I said earlier in the broadcast, of educating after the fact with domestic violence, constantly educating after the fact. And there is just not enough prevention education materials around that are being used, that are good tools for all age brackets. So we started out, our board did, deciding that we wanted to do that, develop the prevention education materials, and we started with a color activity book for children ages 2 to 8. And we call it 1-2-3 Care for Me. It's both in English and Spanish. It starts out with just some basics on abuse issues as far as little children go. One, just as an example, it says, keep mean hands off others, even your sisters and brothers. It's both in English and Spanish, and it shows a brother pulling his little sister's hair. So we start out with just the basics for the smaller, younger children, but it's a way of teaching them about the extreme of the bad behaviors, and this is what leads to domestic violence as you grow. We wanted to carry that through to a tween teen magazine, which we did. We call it Connected, and it deals with domestic violence or relationship violence with teens and tweens from 9 years old all the way to 18. And that magazine is a color magazine, beautifully done. All the kids in this magazine are kids who have interned with us. They were all given scholarships for participating in this program. And the magazine is also in both Spanish and English. Well, that wasn't enough for me. You know me, Dan. I'm a big thinker and quite a visionary. And I thought, no, this isn't enough. We have to go farther than this. So I developed a game board. It's called DAZE, D-A-Z-E. Domestic Abuse Zaps Everyone. And it plays much like Monopoly, a combination of Monopoly and Trivia Pursuit. And our first printing of both the color book, the Tween Teen magazine, and the game board are given free to every shelter in the state of Arizona. I've delivered over half, almost two-thirds of the shelters in the state of Arizona. I'm going to be delivering some more next week and hope to have the rest of them delivered by October, which is October Domestic Violence Awareness Month. We're going into our second print, and this time we are taking the game boards, color books, and magazines nationwide. You will be able to purchase them on our website at handsofafriend.org. In fact, you can get on there now and look at a picture of the game board, color book, and magazine and see what we've got. And as I said, we're going nationwide in selling those. We're trying to reach out to a few of the bigger TV shows I can't tell you just yet who some of them are, but we have made contact and there is some interest, and we're very, very, very excited. Educating before the fact just means so very much to me.
Well, it's interesting because I've been through the coloring books in English and Spanish. You're addressing behaviors when they start cropping up in young people. Then I like the transition to the magazines. Beyond shelters, whose hands do you want to get these into, and how are we going to do it beyond the shelters?
Well, I think we need to get them into pediatric waiting rooms. I think we need to get them into juvenile hall, juvenile detention centers, even the local jails, some of the prisons. Anyone can benefit from these. What's so amazing is when you watch the women at shelter playing the game, they'll start playing the game, and it reinforces some of the tools that they've been taught at shelter of how not to find yourself in that position again.
And we should tell people, with the board game, the cards are questions, and like you said, trivia and whatever. Give us an example of a couple of the topics.
Well, an example of a question might be, how many times, what is the average a woman might leave before they leave for good?
Like we talked about earlier.
Exactly. Good. And you might have answers 1 through 3, and the first answer might be 2 times, and the second time might be 4 times, and the third time might be 7. And of course, 7 is the correct answer. And if you get a correct answer, you can advance your place on the board. If you get the answer wrong, you may have to go backwards on the board.
Okay, October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and we have got some special things coming up. Tell us about one of them.
We do. We, because of our dedication to prevention education, we are having a forum at Grace Church on Sawadita Road, and that forum is going to be on saving the children. It's all about saving the children. You know, from 2003 to 2013, there were 1,184 domestic violence deaths in the state of Arizona alone, and 181 of those deaths, nearly 20% of them, were children. There were 532 recorded number of children that were living in homes when domestic violence deaths occurred. 3.4 million children ages 3 to 17 are at risk of exposure to domestic violence each year, and 33 to 70% of child abuse occurred in a domestic violence home.
Incredible numbers yet again. So that forum is Save the Children. It is October. What's the date?
It's October 21st from 10 to 1 o'clock at Grace Church on Sawadita Road at 2301 East Sawadita Road. There's going to be someone from the FBI speaking. Also, we have a mother whose son was murdered by the mother's boyfriend. We have an adult federal agent who witnessed his mother being murdered by his father when he was 4 years old. And I think that what you're going to gain from this forum is going to change your minds as mothers, as parents, as grandparents. I'm begging you to attend this forum. You need to carry this information back to those that are raising your grandchildren, those that are raising children themselves, those that have the responsibility for children.
Okay, excellent. We are with Patty O'Berry. She's been talking about domestic violence, not an easy topic, getting help for those in the community. I want to give that number one more time. It is 648-3589. You can find out about the forum. If you need help, you can call that number, 648-3589, or go to handsofafriend.org. I am going to be back in this seat on Friday as we welcome Drew Sanchez. She is the new publisher of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun. You are going to want to meet her. On behalf of the team here at the Buckmaster Show, and Ray Allen has been in the control room helping me out, you make it a great Monday.